Well, I love this season. How many of you guys love this season? Anybody? A few of you? Yeah, well, like the season, you know, there's lots of good stuff right now. So like, listen, we've got some cool things happening. You put your hands down. So like, you're like, Rob, why do you love this season? It's probably because of the turkey and we can tell you like to eat, right? Well, yes, that is part of it. I do love food of the season, and Christmas is also part of that, right? So you get all the presents and the lights and the cool stuff for Christmas. So that's fun, but that's not it either. I know you're thinking probably because Rob's New England Patriots are crushing it right now. And we're into, right? Okay. Yeah. Thank you, AJ. You know what I'm talking about. So we're doing real well. Dynasty might be back. That's another reason to love the season, right? But that's not it either. Do you know why I love the season? Why? Tell me. Okay. That's not an answer, but that's awesome input. Yes. Oh, that's a good one, but no, that's not it, even though that's true. Yes. Okay, that's a good one, too. We love our veterans. Yes. The birth of Jesus. I love it for that, too. That's the greatest reason, isn't it? But here's my reason, and it's a little selfish. I'm going to be honest. It's soccer season. I love soccer. You're like, yeah, I know. I knew I was going to get booed. I knew you were going to throw insults my way. I don't care. Listen, I coach varsity soccer at MICS. I love it when it's soccer season. I love it. And so I like to play it. I like to watch it. I like to coach it. You know what they call soccer? Listen, it's a good name because it's true. It's called the beautiful game. You know why they call it the beautiful game? It's beautiful. That's why. That's all there is to it. Soccer is amazing. Listen, if any of you guys have gotten a chance to go with us to Guatemala, which you're in middle school, so you haven't yet probably. When we go on our trips to Guatemala, we get a lot of chances to play soccer because in other countries, unlike ours, soccer is loved, you know, and celebrated. And in Guatemala, it's played a lot. So when we go on trips to Guatemala, we get lots of chances to play. And sometimes they think we're better than we are. Like they just kind of overassume. And they see this team of people get off. And a lot of them are on my soccer team because they want to go play soccer in Guatemala and do missions and all that cool stuff. And so we get challenged to like games. But like Guatemalans have been playing since they're like 2 years old most of the time. And a lot of our players have not. And so when we get challenged by some of these teams, like we know it's going to be a rough game, right? And so this one year, Mrs. Chupka, how many of you guys know Mrs. Chupka who teaches Spanish over here? She also goes to our church. All right, so Mrs. Chupka's on this trip, and she sees how nervous we are. We get challenged to a game. And we get invited to this big, awesome stadium by this district team to, like, go play them. And we're like, we can't do that. And somehow we get stuck in this game. So we're on the bus, and we're on the way there. And as we pull in the parking lot, like, no one's saying a word. Like, everyone's nauseous. They're so nervous. They're like, what's going to happen to us? So Mrs. Chupka, out of nowhere, gets up. You know how short she is. You don't even know she stood up because, like, she's only this tall standing. So she gets up, right? She's tiny. She's, like, 2 feet tall. So she stands up, and she starts. We just hear her voice. And if you know Mrs. Chupka's voice, it's unmistakable, right? She starts to give us a pep talk. It was the greatest pep talk I have ever heard in my entire life. And she says all of these things I couldn't understand because of her, like, really strong accent, but it was awesome. Like, there was a lot of passion. And so near the end of it, what I did understand her say was, they may kill every one of us, but they will never take our freedom. She yelled that for like 20 minutes. Dude, it was the greatest thing ever. But all I heard was, they're going to kill us. Right? Like, that's the only part of the pep talk I took away from it. I'm like, that's supposed to make us feel better? Like, we're going to get off this bus and get dominated by this team. But it was a pretty funny moment that I still remember to the day. As I read our passage for tonight, remember, like, the series we're going through is called Life. Paul is talking to us, 1 Corinthians 15. He's talking to some people who don't believe people can raise from the dead. If you're scientific, you're probably like, yeah, I mean, like, I haven't seen someone rise from the dead. But Paul's like, actually, the resurrection is real. Jesus really rose, and we can rise too with him if we trust in Jesus. And there's a lot of people there that are like, no, that just doesn't happen. And so Paul's trying to use this whole passage to tell them why they're actually wrong, and the resurrection is real. And so he's teaching us what we're calling this series is life. He's teaching us what real life actually is. And he gives us some reasons that we've talked through. And up to this point now, he's going to give us now this pep talk. this like insanely awesome pep talk that to me is one of the best ones in the entire Bible, what Paul has to tell us tonight about life. So if you came and you're just like, oh man, I'm going to come chill with my friends and talk the whole time during the sermon, you're going to miss something awesome tonight. Don't do that. Put your phones down. Stop tickling each other or whatever weird stuff middle schoolers do. All right? I know you do weird stuff, but check into the message tonight because this literally is some life-changing stuff. When I read this, when I studied this, man, this is powerful what Paul has to tell us. God has a word for us tonight. I want you to hear it. I'm going to read it to you. It's in 1 Corinthians 15. If you're reading along, look up the screen. Verses 29 to 34 is where we're at tonight. So listen up. He says, otherwise, what do people mean by being baptized on behalf of the dead? If the dead aren't raised at all, why are people baptized on their behalf? Why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead aren't raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God, and I say this to your shame. Whew. Paul just like took some swings, all right? Like he has taken some swings at us and wants us to wake up. And he's specifically talking to believers. How many of you guys would say, I'm a believer tonight? I believe in Jesus. I place my faith in him. I'm spitting a lot. I'm glad you guys are two rows back because you're gonna get some spit. Okay, he's talking to you. He's talking to us who are believers because he says brothers here. So look at this with me. In verse 29, he says this word. He says, otherwise. You're like, big deal. What does that even mean? Why are you wasting time on that word? Here's what this word tells us. You ready for this? Everything he just said in the first 28 verses of this chapter is now going to be explained. So he's taken all those truths from those 28 verses, and he's about to go, here's what we do with it. Are you ready? Because if all of that stuff that we just talked about is false, this is what happens. So he says otherwise. And then he says this. What do people mean by being baptized on behalf of the dead? Why in the world, if all those people who taught us about the resurrection and placing our faith in Jesus, and Jesus himself who died, what if all those people are still just laying in the ground somewhere? If there's no resurrection and they're telling us to believe in the resurrection, what on earth are we doing? Why would we waste our lives this way if the people who are saying there's a resurrection aren't resurrected? They're still dead. They say, oh, you can be raised from the dead if you believe in Jesus, right? But they're still laying there in the grave. That's not a good look. So why on earth would we believe them or do anything about it? Why place my faith in Jesus and live a life for him if those people are still dead? Man, he makes a good point. Because what that makes them are liars or hypocrites, right? Or just crazy. So he's like, really think about it. If you actually want to follow Jesus and give him your life, why are you doing it? A bunch of you guys just raised your hands a second ago to tell me you believe in Jesus. Why? Why are you following him? Why are you wasting your time coming to Firehouse on Wednesday nights? Maybe it's just to hang out with your friends. What about Sunday mornings? You go to church on Sunday morning? Do you read your Bible? Do you try to follow Jesus? Why are you doing any of those things? Right? Because if people don't actually rise from the dead, then who cares? Why do it? Paul's saying, you are so emphatic that there's no such thing as a resurrection. Then why act like any of this matters? The only power of our faith and of Christianity, of doing what we're doing tonight, is if there is a resurrection. It's if it gives us a new life. That's why our series is called Life. That's what Jesus gives us. It makes all of this worth it. It puts the heart to it. Otherwise, we're just following a bunch of dead people who are hypocrites telling us to believe a thing that didn't even change their own outcome. So I ask you again, why do you follow Jesus? I wonder how many of us could actually answer that tonight if we went one by one and said why. How many of you guys would know? This is why I follow Christ. Maybe you have friends or family who don't believe in Jesus, and maybe they would ask you one day, like, what in the world do you go to church for? Why do you do this Christian thing? Would you have an answer for them? We just have to, like, look back at it and be like, duh. Like, I have no idea. I just go. My friends are there. Because, listen, your friends aren't getting you into heaven. Your friends aren't keeping you out of hell. As a matter of fact, some of your friends might be literally helping you get to hell. It's true. Psalms tells us all about that. So you need to stop for a second and say, could I actually answer that? Because if I can't, I need to be able to. I need to know why I believe, or else this, like, this whole faith I say I have, this Christianity I have, it's a fairy tale. Because I don't even know what it means to me. That's what Paul's saying. Like, no, understand why you actually believe. Don't just follow a bunch of dead people. Like, know why it matters, why it changes your heart. Listen, here's what I want you to get from this. Resurrection life, this life we're talking about, it calls people to follow Jesus to salvation. Jesus saves and gives me eternal life. What else do I need? What other reason do I need than that? But it requires us to believe that he really rose from the dead and that so can we. That's why I follow him. I have a problem. It's called sin and death, and I can't beat those things, but Jesus can. So I follow him. I trust him because he can beat those things. That's why I follow Jesus. And Paul says, you need to know why. Look what he says next. He says, what do people mean by being baptized on behalf of the dead? How many of you guys have been baptized? How many people in here have been baptized? Okay, a couple of you. Some of you guys that have raised your hand to say, like, you believe, but didn't raise your hand for baptism, you should think about it. Because Christ is, like, pretty adamant. He's like, I want you to follow me in baptism if you really believe in me. So think about being baptized as a way to obey Jesus. But what he's saying here is by baptized, he's actually literally talking about salvation. A lot of times in the New Testament, when people got saved, they were immediately baptized. It was like, do you believe in Jesus? And you're like, yes. And you confess your faith. You trust him. And they're like, all right, let's go dunk. And they dunk you. It happened almost instantaneously. Whereas today we kind of do it a little differently. There's time usually between the two. That's not how it happened in the New Testament. New Testament, they're like, if you believe, let's come dunk you. The baptism didn't save you, but immediately it showed what was just now happening in your heart, right? And so Jesus was pretty clear, like, I want you to do that. And so Paul's like, if you're saved, why would you do this because a bunch of dead people told you to do it? If that's all they are, why profess this faith that could get you killed back then and more today, right? People all over the world, people in Nigeria right now are being massacred because they're Christians. Literally every day, massacres are happening. Whole villages are being killed if they're Christians, right? Luckily, you and I don't have that right now. Doesn't mean it won't happen. And it shouldn't need to happen for us to say, I believe in Jesus no matter what. Like tonight, would you say, like, no matter what comes, no matter what happens, no matter what people say, I'm following Jesus, period. Like, that's just how it is. Paul says a lot of people say they're Christians. They don't even know why they're following Jesus. They're following a bunch of dead people. They don't even believe in a resurrection. He says that's taking all the power out of your faith completely and just throwing it away because that is where the power is. And then he says in verse 30, look at this. He says, why are we in danger every hour? Like, literally, they were being persecuted for their faith. People were being hung on crosses upside down. They were being tar and feathered. They were being speared through, like, people were being thrown in pits and having rocks thrown on them until they were just bludgeoned to death and died. Like, some nasty stuff. The Romans were taking Christians and putting them in coliseums with wild animals and letting the animals just tear the Christians to shreds and kill them in front of everyone as they placed bets and applauded. That was the cost of being a Christian back then. And we can come to church services where God is speaking to us from the word, or we're worshiping him, the holy God of the universe, and we're so distracted by goofing off and doing other things because we take it for granted that we're free to do it. Y'all, this is a holy privilege that we have to do this right now. You get to be in the presence of God with other believers. the thing that should have your attention completely in this setting is him. He's the greatest thing about this moment. And when we're so distracted by other stupid things, or we're being the distraction, we're trying to get in the way of him. We have enough distractions from Satan going on. Thank you for proving my point. I don't know. Paul says, why are we in danger every hour? We have to deal with pool tables getting dragged across the roof, right? But like, they're getting murdered. That's a big difference, right? Like, so he's asking, like, why in the world would we do this? Here's what I want you to get from this. Ready? Resurrection life, it empowers people to surrender this life in service to Jesus. It causes you to say, like, this life is cool. I got some awesome stuff going on. It's soccer season. Like, that's great, right? Everyone loves that. Patriots are winning. Woohoo! Everybody loves that in this room, right? So we know those things are awesome. But listen, I would sacrifice my whole life. All the good things, all the things that I would hold so tightly to in this life that I just love. When you really get the resurrection and see what Jesus does for you, you're willing to take those things, open your hands up, and let them literally fall to the ground so that you can follow Jesus. You're willing to look at Jesus and go, like, take it all away from me if you want to. It's okay. I'm still going to follow you. That friend that means so much to you, or that group of friends, or that boyfriend or girlfriend, or that, you know, those grades in that class, or the accolades and pats on the back you get from that sport you play. Like, all those things, are you willing to just lay them down because you're more in love with Jesus than anything else in the world? That's what resurrection life does to someone. When you understand the power of having the ability to be born again, to live forever because of what Jesus did for you, it makes you look at this world and it just isn't as nice anymore. It's just not as attractive, because what you want the most is Jesus because of what he's done for you. That's where the power is. I hope you're not missing the power in your walk with Jesus. He's talking to some Christians who are missing the power. They're not following him. They're not willing to give their lives for him. He's like, why are we in danger every hour then? And so listen to what he says next. He says, I protest. I love that. And what that word actually means there is to, like, swear an oath. He's like, I swear an oath to you. And then he uses the word brothers. Why? Because he's talking to Christians. He's not just talking to a bunch of, like, unsaved pagans in Rome. Like, he's talking to believers in Christ who are making this mistake. Y'all, if they could do it, I wonder what could happen in this room. How many of us might think we're walking with Jesus, but we're absolutely missing it because of the same reasons here that these people are doing? We're becoming satisfied with just, like, I showed up at church, that's enough. Instead of, like, I want to be transformed by Jesus. I want him to change my whole life. I want him to give me a new heart. I want him to make me passionate about the things he's passionate about. We're missing the power. We're happy in the sin. We're happy in the selfishness and being comfortable. And instead of saying, Jesus, I want you more than anything because you gave everything for me. He says, so I protest, brothers, I swear to you, brothers and sisters, Christians, he says, by my pride in you. And listen, Paul is proud of these people. He's not, like, he's not just, like, smacking them around here. He's proud of their faith. He sees them trust in Jesus. He sees them in dangerous situations every day because they believe in Jesus. He's watching their faith, like, grow. He's proud of that in them, not in this, like, weird way, but he says in a second, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I see Jesus growing in you. Like, he's in your heart. Jesus is doing this thing and changing you. He's like, I'm so proud of you guys in that. And then he says this, ready? He says, I die every day. Like, how's that possible? How's this dude dying every day? Well, he's talking about resurrection, right? He's talking about new life. And as long as we're here on this earth, guess what we still walk around in? These broken bodies of sin that still lead us to do stupid things, still tempt us, and still, you know, we are broken. But he's like, every day when I wake up, I'm able to die again to all of that. And then get that new resurrection life Jesus gives me every single day when I wake up. Why? Because he's saved me. because every day it's fresh. His grace is new. Every single morning, his mercies are new for me. And so every day I'm able to die to myself and be alive to him. And I make that choice every day when I wake up. How many of you guys make that choice every morning? You open up God's word and you pray and you say, God, today I'm going to be tempted. Today I'm going to have opportunities to fall and be broken. But today I'm dying to myself and I'm choosing you. I'm not saying every morning you get re-saved over and over. I'm saying because you are already saved, you have the power to wake up every day and choose Jesus. Some of us will and some of us won't. Paul's saying, let's all do this. I die every day. He says, what do I gain? What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? He's pointing out what we talked about a second ago. There are Christians that are, at this time, that are being dragged into Colosseums, right? And they're putting tigers and lions and other animals in there with them. And they're just watching these animals rip the Christians apart just for claiming the name of Jesus. And Paul's like, what if we did that? Like, that'd be the ultimate martyr, right? Like, you're dying for your faith. What if we did that, but there was no such thing as a resurrection? Jesus wasn't real. He never rose from the dead. We can't either. What would the point be for us to have that type of faith? It would be so empty. He's like, people aren't doing that because it's fake. People are willing to lay their lives down. Why? Because they're absolutely convinced it's real. They're not going around just lying about a thing. They wouldn't give their life over a lie. They wouldn't do it. When their life came on the line, they would be like, all right, I'm just kidding. I'm walking away, right? You wouldn't die over that. A horrible, terrible, painful death. You would give up and walk out. And they didn't. We look at these martyrs, and they're willing to do it. Why? Because there's power in the resurrection of Jesus, the fact that he gives us life. He makes it worth it. And then he says, if the dead aren't raised, this final question here, right, he raises to us. Like, if the dead aren't raised, that means, like, these people are still just laying in a tomb somewhere. Jesus himself could still be found. If we went and dug enough, we would find the bones of Jesus somewhere. If that's the case, if we really could go do that, he says, then let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. You've probably heard the expression YOLO, right? Like, YOLO's been around a long time. A lot of generations have used that phrase. Even old people know what that is. You only live once. Well, I got a friend, you guys know him, DJ Matty Flo. Some of you younger ones haven't seen him yet, but he visits Firehouse once in a while and does crazy things. But Matt Denyer, Matt has this thing where he always says to me and reminds me, he's like, YOLT, YOLT. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, no, like, you only live twice. So he'll literally turn things upside down on me. When I'm complaining, when I'm like saying something, he's like, listen, YOLT. He's like, don't live for this world, Rob. We don't just live once. If you only lived once, then yes, go chase pleasure. Go try to find all the stuff that you can do and get it done before you die, because you have one chance. You better get it done. But we don't only live once. There is a resurrection. There is eternal life. There is power in Jesus. And so you live twice. So you better not live as if there's only one life, because you're going to miss what's actually valuable. You're going to choose the garbage and the trash in this temporary world, and you're going to miss out on the eternal things that are so much infinitely better. Choose the things above and not the things of the earth. Paul says, why on earth would we even do these things if there was no future life for us? If Jesus isn't real? And then he says this. He tells us why. He says, do not be deceived. Don't be lied to. Don't be tricked, he says. Bad company ruins good morals. You know what I said a few minutes ago, and some of you were like, whoa, when I said some of your friends might be leading you straight to hell? Yeah, Paul just says it right now. Bad company ruins good morals. When you surround yourself with the wrong people, your faith can get destroyed. You're going to listen to the people who would rather choose the junk of the world. You're going to think they're right. You're going to get sucked into their way of living. And you're going to think, man, this really, they get it because they're fun and they're whatever, right? And actually what's happening is they're eroding your faith. They're causing you to not see the value of the resurrection of Jesus anymore and think it's worthless or trash, instead of realizing he's the greatest one who's ever lived. And his life gives you life. Be careful who you let surround you. Be careful who you listen to, who you let get to your heart. Because it could change you. It can deceive you, Paul says. And then you're going to miss it all. Bad company corrupts good morals. And then he says, wake up. Like, this is the pep talk kicking in. He's like, all right, enough. Like, you're acting like you're asleep, like you got drunk and fell asleep and can't even wake up anymore. You're getting some like blood poisoning because you drank so much alcohol and you need to wake up. He's literally talking about it. And this comparison is someone who's like vomiting their brains out from drinking too much. It's like a disgusting picture of this person who was just poisoned from alcohol. And the lies poison us in our spirit and in our soul that we basically just fall asleep and drift away from the truth and just live in the world. It's like, your only hope is to wake up from that and just not go on sinning. Give up on sin and look to Jesus in righteousness, he says, so that he can actually show you what is right and what is wrong. And you follow the resurrection. You follow his life that he gives you. It's the only way out. And then he says this as he closes. He says, for some have no knowledge of God. And remember, that's easy to say when he's talking to a bunch of just like sinful people. He's talking to Christians. He called them brothers. And he says, some of you have no knowledge of God. You're walking around claiming Christ. You're going to church. You're reading your Bible maybe, or at least carrying it. And you really don't know God. Because if you knew God, you would know that his son came to earth for you to pay for your sin when he died on that cross. You are the reason for that. And he gladly did it. And then he died, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead, which all these people want to say isn't true. He's like, you have no knowledge of God if you can't believe there's a resurrection. Because God told us all throughout Scripture, this was the plan. He was sending his son, the Messiah, to die and rise again so you could die and rise again with him. That's the power of our faith, y'all. What's the point of any of these things that we would do in the Christian life if it's not true? I asked you at the beginning, hey, what would you say if someone said, why do you believe in Jesus? Why are you a Christian? I wonder if you can now answer that question. I wonder if you would say, because there's power in the fact that he rose from the dead. I believe it. And I believe one day I'm rising with him. It's the most valuable thing in my life. Paul ends with this phrase. He says, I say this to your shame. And I never want to hear that. I hope he never has to say that to me. As I'm trying to live for Jesus, trust in him, like, man, to know that I chose wrong my whole life, to know that I missed it, to know that I was literally sitting in church hearing it over and over every week, and I still left exactly the same. To know that I could have had the power of Jesus' resurrection in my life because I was told so many times the truth, and I was too busy doing other stuff to even hear it. Man, I hope it impacts your heart in a way that changes you. So you would never get to the end and hear, man, I say this to your shame because you missed it the whole time. Jesus loves you so much. He died for you. And he's so powerful. He rose from the dead. Live in that life. I don't care if you're a middle schooler. I don't care if you're sixth grade, fifth grade. I got saved when I was a little kid. And he changed me. Live in the change that Jesus makes in your heart. Let him transform you and do unbelievable things you can't do on your own. Have you truly believed that Jesus is risen again? If you haven't, tonight I encourage you, will you talk to your life group leader with me? Because you cannot be saved without trusting in the resurrection of Christ. Have you been baptized as this act of obedience, right? To obey Jesus, because he says be baptized after you're saved. Have you professed in front of your peers, like, I am not ashamed that I believe in Jesus? If you haven't done that, I want to encourage you, do that. Come talk to me or your life group leader so we can set up a time so we could talk and see you be baptized. Finally, are you living your life like we live twice? Like there is a resurrection. Like there is eternal life waiting for you, something so much better than anything you'll find here. I want to challenge you tonight. Hear Paul's pep talk and live that way in that life that Jesus gives. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Father, tonight we just ask you, Lord, to let us see your power clearly. Let us see the reason why we believe, why we call ourselves Christians and come to church. Convince our hearts that the power is in the life of Jesus and his resurrection. Cause us to live like there is eternal life waiting for us. This isn't all we have. But God, we need your Holy Spirit and your power to do that work in us. If there's someone here tonight that hasn't totally trusted in that, surrendered their heart to you tonight, God, would you do that in them? Would you call them? Invite them into a new life? I pray tonight they say yes. For those who need to be baptized, God, I pray that they would talk to one of us leaders tonight before they leave, that they would obey you in baptism. Jesus, we just all together tonight say we love you. We thank you that you died and rose again for us. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.